then it becomes less purposeful. The fifth of them and the last pillar, we call direction, the ultimate aim of all education and knowledge, whether it is material or spiritual, is to help individuals and society at large advance towards self-realization and God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Education and knowledge devoid of such an objective are incomplete and imperfect. So one reference is given here, 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, all the different qualities and qualifications listed. So we're just nearing the end of our presentation here. This is what I was mentioning a little earlier. Srila Prabhupada, in a conversation, January 11, 1977, mentions actually only brahmanas. They require education. Or all others, they will simply see and learn. So little education required. That you can learn by hearing only. That's all. Suppose a brahmana class says that this is good, this is bad. So you hear and accept. It doesn't require to go to school and college. So education will be simplified. Now, this may be a simplified statement by Srila Prabhupada, because at the same time, Srila Prabhupada was advocating, isn't it, Varnashram College. But the point, you know, especially in conversations, we have to see things like in context. So what is very important is that when we understand the Vedic system of what education is, what is, you know, how it is meant to be given, to be presented, not only education, our whole lifestyle, everything becomes extremely simplified. So simplified that actually it is beyond our imagination. You know, we mention it like this, but unless we experience ourselves, we will not really, you know, maybe as devotees, especially if we have had some opportunity to visit some community where some of these, or some gurukul, for example, where some of these principles are followed, then we will have some, you know, some amount of understanding. Otherwise, it's like, remains very much a theory. Conclusion, Varnashram education is meant to be the norm and standard in society. Hare Krishna.
Does anyone have any questions?
Maharaj, I have a question from the comment. Prabhupada used languages to bridge gaps to as a medium. He used English as a medium because English was required to preach in the West. Currently, in India, if English is becoming mandatory, even in ISKCON education, I heard it, that it's, at some levels it is mandatory. English is mandatory. So is it not again becoming a barrier? Is the language not again becoming a barrier? What the same language Prabhupada used it as a medium, the same language is becoming a barrier.
It's becoming
a barrier, a hazard.
Okay.
So, is it justified to make English mandatory? For example, as far as I understood from this pamphlet, grammatical qualities and other things are essential for receiving education. So is language should be a criteria for receiving education?
Are you asking specifically if you know, my opinion regarding the English language as being mandatory? Or you're just asking a more general way regarding any language?
So, in this context, yes, I'm talking about
English language. Well, you know, many years ago, and this is written in the essay on Gita Nagari. At the end of the essay on Gita Nagari, for those who have gone through the whole thing. Srila Prabhupada mentions that many years ago, actually, from the moment of independence, Sanskrit should have been the national language in India. Sanskrit should have been the national language. So there is importance to language. And of course, Prabhupada used the English medium because he was requested by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, isn't it? To preach to the English, you know, speaking countries or world people. That is, we should not become overly entangled with something which is of a secondary nature. I mean, our primary thing is to become Krishna conscious, you see, to develop gradually in due course of time, fear, love of God. So whatever can help us to attain that goal, if it means having to learn English or whatever, if the goal can be reached more easily, then that is actually the more important criteria. We are still, you know, at a very early stage, I would say. I mean, as a society, even as a society, ISKCON society is still very young when you compare it to Christianity, for example, or other major religions. So, you know, we naturally need to develop and establish, formulate different policies as we go along. And what's always very important for us to keep in mind is that there are basically two kinds of, let's say, instructions, primary and secondary. So the primary topics or the primary instructions, those we cannot change. But secondary, according to time, place, and circumstance, may at times be adjusted. So at this point, for example, if somebody wanted, you know, maybe a little bit keeping in tune with some of the points that we made in our presentation, if somebody wanted to make a whole argument that, well, you know, we should introduce Sanskrit, and only Sanskrit should be the medium, I mean, within the country here in India, since a number of decades, actually Sanskrit, you know, the popularity of Sanskrit has come up. Different devotees are taking it up, etc., like that. Srila Prabhupada also did encourage some of our devotees to learn like this, but at the same time, in some instances, he would say, you know, even if you don't know how to chant the verses, that's secondary. So, it is something of a, number one, of a secondary nature, you know, in the bigger picture. And secondly, it is something that is based according to time, place, and circumstance. And because of that, actually, it is considered as something secondary. So, for example, we may well find a situation whereby as we develop, I mean, one of the messages we want to get across today, for example, is that it is an absolute necessity for us as a society to establish Gurukul, traditional Gurukul, to understand that actually education within the context also of the whole Varnashrama development that needs to take place, it can only take place if there are qualified individuals whom we know as Brahmanas. Brahmanas are only created through Gurukul. You know, because it's only within the Gurukul setting system that they receive the proper training and education. So it may well be that as we introduce, and actually we, you know, we have a mandate, Srila Prabhupada has given us that mandate, that order, to introduce Gurukul, to introduce Varnashrama. So as we introduce, well, we may find that, you know, in some place, in some particular country, they're going to be at some particular standard. And it may well be that, you know, in that Gurukul, it's only Sanskrit. So according to their development, that's fine. So it's very important to understand also, you see, each community, each educational institute, for example, Gurukul, within different communities, they will develop according to the local teachers or brahmanas, according to their different level of understanding, different level of realization. That's why, you know, when we look at the overall, let's say, Vedic culture, now we're living in an era of globalization, where we think that, you know, what is here has to be there, and it's like uniform, and especially because of the whole setup, you know, communication and whatnot. We must recognize like individual situations and individual realizations of persons who are, for example, in the teaching profession. Just like we find here in India, some villages, you know, like maybe next week, I think, is the festival Advaita Acharya. Devotees will be going to Shantipur. So during the time of Advaita Acharya, Shantipur is, why is Shantipur called Shantipur? Does anyone know?
It's peaceful.
Yeah, Shanti. It's a pura that is peaceful. Why? Because it's autonomous. You know. I don't know about today. I mean, nowadays. But during the time of Advaita Acharya, everybody there, they were brahmanas. So we find villages, isn't it? Still probably today, like the Goshas, they're all Vaishyas. And they peddle their milk, you know, around and whatnot. So it's like that in the Vedic culture. You'll find villages mostly of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. I mean, it's not only Vaishyas who have land. The brahmanas will be given land also. Kshatriyas, when there's, you know, during peacetime, they will cultivate land also. Means that, you know, practically everybody will be connected with the land, and the rest of the population are going to be assisting and helping in different ways. So it is sometimes not possible to actually give, you know, a clear-cut definition on things which are of a secondary nature. So language, I would say, is within that category. Okay. Any other? Yes.
And in Gurukul, that it is, because there is two kinds of teaching, no? Professors until 10, after 10.
No? Two kinds of teaching, up until, up until the age of 10 approximately, and then after 10.
After 10, there is more, that you have to learn to see more the professionality of the person, what is his qualification to do a work. No? Then, that's to live with the teacher, as you explained before, is after also that in the same Gurukula you have to learn after a professional, or it is only a general primary education till 10, after is another kind of Gurukula, or how do you divide that? Okay. Two facets of education.
Yes. So the question being asked is, Srila Prabhupada in the conversation, and I'm sure you're referring to that conversation as well, he mentions, Prabhupada explains that up until the age of 10 or 12, that is like Gurukul training. Then after that, they go to Varnashram College. Yeah. So the question being asked is that, will the students, if I understand correctly, will the students continue to have or live with the teacher also after, like in the vocational, Varnashram College? If I understood correctly, you're saying that that teachers and students, they live together in the primary, in the first level,
yes,
up until 10 and 12, yes. Gurukul.
Yes, because suppose that after the quality of one student is Kshatriya, no?
Yeah.
But the teacher of Gurukul, he don't know Kshatriya.
Right.
Don't know anything. Don't they have to have 12 or 10, they have to go to another school, another teacher. It's not that. A question.
Well, we will link a little bit with what we mentioned briefly yesterday, that actually determination of varna is done at an early age.
So
it is done very early.
Yes.
It means that if proper understanding of a child's varna is there, then he may be directed, he can immediately be directed to a gurukul which will catered to his tendency and directly training. Not necessarily that everybody goes at the same place and we sort them out and then we, you know, we shift them or send them to this one, this good call, that good call, that good call. Again, there may be variety. You know, I mean, there are different factors. We as a society, in some places, we may do like that. For example, there's only one place, everybody goes there, and within 1 year, then the teachers can understand, because let's say before they've gone there, no one has really been able to assess, let's say nobody's been qualified or been able to assess the nature of those children. And so they're sent to one place, let's say Gurukul, and then within 1 year, approximately, or 6 months, whatever, then one will naturally, if some qualified people are there, they will understand. Just like, I'll tell you a small story, one of our, I won't mention the name, one devotee who's been living in India for a long time, he has a son, and one day he went to Tirupati. He wanted to bring his son and have him admitted in the Gurukul in Tirupati. And when he went there, he met with one of the teachers. In Tirupati, I had a chance to see last year when I went up there, right? You have to go really up on a hill in the back one section, which is nice. I mean, it's like away from the busy places. Anyways, when this devotee was, he had his son with him, and then he was speaking with this one of the teachers, and maybe within less than 1 hour or so, the teacher conveyed to him, the teacher came to know that he wanted to bring his son. He says, you know, your son is not ready or not fit for our Gurukul. You know, he could immediately assess, because he was, whatever, you know, maybe very
experienced.
Like passionate or something or whatever.
Uh-huh.
No names. There are no names involved. Yeah, we're talking about the same. Yeah. So there are different gurukuls, you know. Like some gurukuls are, but Prabhupada here made a statement that only brahmanas. Traditionally, mostly brahmanas and kshatriyas. So. Generally, I would say from what I've read, from what I have understood, is that in the examples that are there, for example, in places like Indonesia, that even after the age of 12, or I mean, even till 15, 16, or even more, they will continue to stay and get training from other people. And because some of these, see, some of these trades, not like nowadays, they take a long time. You know, they're like carpenters. When we go to a place like Indonesia especially, I mean, even when they do a door, there's so many designs in the door, you know. It's kind of... So generally, whatever they would learn, it would take quite some time, and they would do it very, you know... very perfectly. And then at some particular time, I suppose, then they would not need to remain in that kind of gurukul setting. So it means that to answer the question you're asking, my understanding is that for both the early period of, let's say, formal gurukul up until the age of 12 approximately, and then later on, in both instances, the teacher or residential aspect where the teacher is residing with the student can be there.
Yes, I read from the philosopher explained one book, I don't remember which one, that to ascertain the varna of the individual.
Ascertain the varna? Uh-huh.
Of the individual.
Yeah.
Had it ascertained the spiritual master, the teacher.
Yes.
The father, the grandfather,
yeah.
the major of the village, and the brahmana.
Yeah, many.
That everyone has to be attentive, no?
Yes.
To the fine, to the varna, to the teacher.
Actually, before you came, we were reading one quotation from the essay on Gita Nagari. Srila Prabhupada, at the end, somewhere in the essay on Gita Nagari, gives four ways by which traditionally one would ascertain the varna. One is by astrological calculation, astrology. One is by understanding who was your father, who was your father's father, what his occupation was. You know, so by tradition, by family and tradition and lineage, yeah, that was a term, lineage. And then number three, by observation, just by observing. And what you mentioned is very true also. Many people would observe, you know, because everyone knows. And then they would, it would be done especially by people who are elders. So as you say, you know, the village head or, you know, elders in the society, they would know, you know, because of their experience and whatnot. And then I was mentioning the fourth one by test. Then I was reading again it. Prabhupada specifically mentions by psychological testing. By psychological testing. So these are the four ways. So it was like, you know, something important. and in this way, one would ascertain, okay, what will be the future, or what is the best kind of training or education for this particular individual. And that was that was done, I mean, we can maybe talk on this point or open it up a little bit. That was for boys. That was for boys. Because traditionally, as we mentioned before, the varnas are for boys. okay. Actually, we're probably...
Can Mataji's teach at the junior level?
No.
Traditionally, I mean...
I mean, Bhakti Vedapuna Maharaj touched this point. See, the Brahma, the point of the Brahmachari...
They can teach Mataji's.
Yeah, but he's asking in the Guru for it, right?
Asking some young children, can Mataji's teach young children?
You're speaking about boys, like in Vrindavan, for example?
Yeah, I mean, in ISKCON videos, we see Mataji's teaching, so I'm just asking to boys and girls.
Well, Bhakti Vedapuna Maharaj explained that, see, a brahmachari, you learn, his point is to learn detachment from woman. That's the main point. First, by learning detachment from mother. So if you change one mother to the other mother, then it's like, now in a setting where you will also have, because when they're young, especially when they're 5, 6, 7, some motherly figure will be there, like in you know, the wife, the Brahman, and this and that. But the point is it's not, like Maharaj was saying, it's not too close. So if we have, like in Vrindavan, where we have women that are ashram teachers, it's like they're changing one mommy for the other mommy. So that whole shock that is meant, because entering the Gurukul is meant also to be a little bit of a shock, because until then the boy is just take everything for granted. He's all doing things, and then he has to understand what's going on. Things are expected of him. He has duties. He has to fit in. And he's looking up to the elders, see how they're behaving. He's trying to find his position. Then he gets his whole rational thing going. Then he does. Yeah, here what we do is according to Shastra. This up. So we try, and if he can remain very rational, then he won't enter the Grihastha ashram. Because there's no reason. Right? Now, if he cannot, towards in his Brahmachari ashram, get the deep realization, then he will understand that it's better to go through learning the hard way by, you know, becoming Grihastha. But the whole point is, so to have this teaching, like it's not there. We may do it because as a reaction, this is, oh, children have been abused, or at least with women, nothing bad will happen. But it's not like a standard. It's been like a reaction, you know, to a problem. And instead of going back to the norm, we've been concocting various solutions. And and it's all because in the West, I think, I don't know, especially in primary school, most teachers are women.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, in India, but in the West, I mean, in primary school, mostly the women, they like to be around children, so they go and become primary school teacher. So in Iskana, we have a lot of people, you know, I was a teacher when I was a Karmi, they come.